Good morning. Today's scripture reading comes from Matthew 18, verses 1 through 10. It's found on page 1526 in the Pew Bible. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child and had him stand among them. And he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to sin. Such things must come, but woe to the man through whom they come. If your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than to have two hands or two feet and be thrown into eternal fire. And if your eyes cause you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into the fire of hell. See that you do not look down on one of these little ones." This is the reading of God's word.
Amen. Thanks be to God. Thank you, Steve. Steve had a double duty. He read last week and he read this week. For the past few weeks, we have been talking about the important topic of faith. Today, we will be looking at this passage from Matthew, where Jesus talks about children and tells us to be like them. I want you to think about that for a minute. Jesus tells us to be like children. Verses 1 and 2. Say that at that time the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Isn't this an interesting question? Even the disciples were flawed, right? We are flawed, but we are loved by God. Who in the world asks that question? I don't care as long as I enter the kingdom of God. Who cares? Who is the greatest? The greatest is Jesus. So they ask that question. And Jesus, instead of getting mad at them and saying, now guys, you know, that's not what's important, which is what I would have done. He didn't do that. He says, okay, let me show you who it is. And he called a little child, like the ones we have here, gracing us with their talk. He called a little child like that. And he placed that child among them. This is a visual aid, people. You who are teachers, you often have to use visual aids to make a point really clear, right? So he calls a little child, and he puts it right in the middle. And he tells them, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like a little child or like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. That just probably did a number in their minds. Now you imagine that. You're sitting before the greatest teacher ever, before the Lord of Lords, before God Jesus. And he plays as a child and tells you, this is who you need to be like. Therefore, whoever takes a lowly position, he said, lowly position, pay attention to that. Whoever takes a lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So what he's trying to tell them is that if they want to be somebody, they need to become like a child. That's how you become somebody. You become like a child. And then in verses 5 and 6, he tells them how important it is that we become like children in his name, and gives a stern warning to not hurt them. Children are vulnerable. Children are easy to hurt. And so he says this, whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. So he's saying here, welcome them. Because when you're welcoming a child, you're welcoming me, the Lord Jesus is saying. You're receiving me, Jesus is saying, when you welcome one of these. But then he also says, and if anyone, this is a warning, if anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Wow. That's pretty strong, isn't it? You know what that makes me think of? The sad reality that many children are used and abused physically, emotionally, spiritually. You know what spiritual abuse is? God is going to get you. God is going to punish you. That's spiritual abuse. They're sexually abused. They're exploited. So this warning is a strong one. And if you have been one of those children who is sexually, emotionally, physically, spiritually abused, you need to know that Jesus was not okay with that. Jesus is not okay with that. And he will see the day when retribution, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. So truly this is a warning, a very strong warning that we need to pay attention to. So not only are we warned not to hurt children or put a stumbling block before them, but we are told to become like them. To become like them. So let's pause for a minute. How many of you, you don't have to raise your hands, I'm not going to put you on the spot, although I would love to. How many of you want to take this challenge seriously, to become like a little child? Not many, right? I used to, when I was really young, I used to think, when am I going to turn 20? When am I going to be an adult and 30? And now I think I would never go back. I would never want to go back to those days. I don't want to go back. I mean, children are vulnerable. They don't know everything, and we think we do. They depend on other people. It's really, the challenge is really serious. It's hard. It's a hard challenge. But it's Jesus who's given it. Become like them. I bet not many of you, I bet not many of us want to take that challenge seriously, to become like little children. So here is a verse that I find most challenging, the one I read, or here's a part of this verse that I find most challenging. Unless, let me say it again, unless you change Jesus' words, I'm repeating them, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of God. My goodness, that's quite the challenge. Unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of God. And here are the disciples asking, who's going to be the greatest? And this is their response of Jesus to them. This blows my mind, people. And I think it should yours too. Because what Jesus is saying is that we need to change so much, that we become like little children. So what does this mean? Well, let's think about this together. How are little children? They are trusting, right? They're trusting. They believe anything you tell them pretty much. So that's one, they're trusting. We need to become trusting. That's really hard because we've been hurt. We've been betrayed. We've been mocked. We've made mistakes and paid for it. But that's how children are. They're trusting. What about this one? They don't worry. They don't worry about not having food on the table. They don't worry about the weather. They don't worry, oh, there's a storm coming. Can you imagine the children? What? There's a storm coming? Children don't do that. They don't worry. They know their food will be there. They know that they will have what they need. They know they will be cared for. Children naturally do not worry. What about this one? They have joy. They have joy. Have you seen the joy of a child? The giggles? They're always joyful, and we want to suck the joy out of those children at times. Behave, sit up straight. Stop talking, stop smiling. Don't laugh. They have joy, and we need to become like them. And the word is change and become like them. What about this one? They don't keep grudges. They don't keep grudges, do they? They remember for a little bit at times. They don't keep grudges. They're not hateful. You see how the conviction is coming now to us? We're feeling like, oh, they're not hateful. They don't keep grudges. They forgive. They forgive. They believe. We have a hard time believing. We don't trust people. We don't believe people. We don't even believe God. Go figure. God says something and we go, well. They believe. And they believe the best of people. You can't even imagine a child saying, I don't know, Mom. You know, that person seems very suspicious to me. Maybe they say that when they've heard it from another person, but not naturally. They're not suspicious. They're like children. They're vulnerable. There are no walls. They're not suspicious. They're dependent on others, and they're not ashamed. What about us? We think it's really becoming to pull up ourselves by our bootstraps and just to be independent. I don't need anybody. I'm going to do this alone. That's not the way we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be dependent on each other. It's okay to ask for help. It's okay to share how we're feeling. Children share openly. So think of all those ways that we are being challenged by this passage. They're okay with depending on others. It doesn't bother them that you help them. It doesn't bother them that you feed them. It doesn't bother them. And they don't say, I'll pay you back, okay? We do that. Oh, you did a favor to me. Oh, let me pay you back. We can't even receive people. That should not be. We can't even receive in peace. We got to pay back. We got to do something back. They're not prideful. Children are not prideful. They're humble. My brothers and sisters, we need to take this to heart. We need to take this challenge to heart. Jesus didn't say it just so that we have a story to tell. The Bible is not a book of stories that we tell one another. The Bible is a book of stories that God calls us to embody. God calls us to practice. God calls us to walk the talk. That's what the Bible is. So this challenge is for us to practice a little bit at a time. You don't have to change overnight, but we're called to change and become like little children. So when you see a child acting like a child in different ways, you have to think, oh, that's Jesus challenging me, and take it to heart. My brothers and sisters, let us take this to heart. Jesus didn't just say this to his disciples. He's saying it to us also. So as you watch this baby today being baptized, I want you to consider the challenge Jesus gives us in this passage. And even as you hear the children talking and cooing and wooing, remember the challenge that Jesus gives us in this passage. In a moment, I'm going to have the parents of Lance come up, and we will proceed with the baptism. Hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. The Bible tells us, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. These are also Jesus' words. And teaching them to obey. So it's not just stories. It's not just information. Teaching them to obey everything, not just some things from the Bible. Everything that I have commanded you. And remember, Jesus says, I'm always, always with you to the end of the age. My brothers and sisters, baptism is the sign and seal of God's promises to this covenant people. In baptism, God promises by grace alone to forgive our sins, to adopt us into the body of Christ, the church, to send the Holy Spirit daily. This is a daily work that God begins in us. Daily, and it's still in all of us. God is still working, unless God is done with one of you, but I'm sure he's not done with me. A daily work to renew and cleanse us and to resurrect us to eternal life eventually. This promise given in baptism is made visible in the water of baptism. Water cleanses, purifies, refreshes, sustains, and provides life. Jesus Christ is the living water. Through baptism, God calls us to new obedience, to love and trust God completely, like children, to forsake the evil of the world and to live a new life and holy life. Yet, when we fall into sin, we must not despair, because we will sin, but we must not despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, for baptism is a sign and seal of God's eternal covenant of grace with us. Amen. I'm going to ask the parents of Lance John Kreger to come and bring him and stand right here in front of you, facing the congregation. Dear family, friends, and members of this congregation, I present to you Lance John Kreger and his parents, who bring their child to receive the sacrament of baptism. Jesus says, reminds us through the words of Acts 2:39, for the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. I always ask when we do baptism preparation, I give the parents some scriptures and I ask them to pick one scripture that really moves them, that they want to apply, pray, and with the help of God, help their child come to pass this truth of the scripture in the life of the child. And they chose Psalm 119:73, and it reads, "Your hands have made me and formed me. Give me understanding to learn your commands." I loved the verse they chose, because without God's help, Lance would never understand what God is trying to tell him. You and I would never understand what God is speaking to us. We could never understand or grasp the mysteries of God, the life of God, the wisdom of God, unless he gives us understanding. So they are reminding us, even as they pick this for their child, that this psalm is saying, "Your hands have made me and formed me. Give me," it's a prayer, "understanding to learn your commands." Lewis and Lauren, you stand before us having brought your child. It was not too long ago. It seems that I was doing your wedding. You stand before us having brought your child to receive the sacrament of baptism. Therefore, I ask you the following two questions. Do you renounce sin and the power of evil in your life and with the world and confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Do you promise to instruct this child in the truth of God's word, in the way of salvation, respecting and honoring the wisdom of God and the way of salvation through Jesus Christ? Do you promise to pray for him, to teach him to pray, and to train him in Christ's way by your example, through worship, and in the nurture of a church? Very well. I address you now, congregation, and family, and friends. Do you promise to love, encourage, and support these brother and sister, by teaching the gospel of God's love through your example, by being an example of true Christian faith and character, and by giving them support in God's fellowship, prayer, and service? If you do, say, "We do." Then let us proceed to the baptism. As we close in prayer and proceed to pray for the offering, let us remember the challenge of Jesus to us this morning, to become like little children. Let us pray. Father, we do thank you for the privilege of hearing from you. We thank you that you do not give up on us. We thank you that you're patient and kind, slow to anger and abounding in love. And we pray that as we heard your word, we will put it into practice as we try to change every day and become more and more like little children. Through your grace and love, Father, we receive the grace, the ability to do that through your Holy Spirit. And it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.